So far, we've seen that Christian life is a relationship, a growing relationship with the Lord. It's a fellowship with the Lord. It's a life of joy. It's a life of walking in the light. It's a life of obedience. And we've seen here the last several weeks, it's a life of abiding in Christ. I want to begin today looking that Christian life is also a life of love for one another. In 1 John 2, we'll read verses 7 through verse 11. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith, again, this is one of John's favorite phrases throughout the books, he that saith. You can say something, but that doesn't make it true. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And then in 1 John 3, verse 11, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 16 and 17, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And then in chapter 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is a love. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then in verse 20 and 21, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now, those verses are very, very plain. And basically, what those verses say is that if you do not love the brethren, you're lost. I mean, that's what it says. That you're not born of God. Well, if you're not born of God, you're not saved. So, and he makes this very, very plain. There's no ifs about it. It's something that is just very clearly stated. So, we see one of the privileges that we have, one of the opportunities that we have in the Christian life is to live loving one another. Life is much more pleasant if there is love amongst one another. Makes everything more pleasant, makes everything go more smoothly. But all through the book of 1 John, we see perhaps the main subject of the book is love, whether it be love to God or love to man. John speaks of both. 33 times in the book of 1 John, at just five chapters, but 33 times we see that word love. Again, sometimes it refers to our love to God. Sometimes it refers to God's love to us. Sometimes it refers to our love for one another. But a main theme of the book is love. And the Word of God gives a very prominent place to love. Gives a very prominent place to love to one another. A very important place. Gives a very vital place. A very high and lofty place. Place of necessity. It's necessary that we love one another. It's given a place of preeminence all through the Scriptures. It's a place of supremacy, a place of importance. This is clearly seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If we turn there, 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues or the languages of men and of angels, he said, if I could speak all the languages of men, if I could even speak the language of the angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, just a bunch of noise. In other words, it doesn't mean anything. If you could speak all the languages of the world and the languages of heaven as well, without love, it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. In verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, if you could understand everything in the Word of God and have all the knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And then notice in the book of Colossians, we see again the importance, the place of importance that love is given. And beginning with verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3, he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels, and then notice the things he mentions. Mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And then notice verse 14. And above all these things, things that he's just mentioned, put on charity. Above all of these things, over all of these things, put on charity. Now I believe that has a twofold meaning. Above all these things, put on charity. It means that all of these things are to be done in charity. That is, charity is to cover all of these things. Everything we do is to be done in love. But it also means love is above all these things. Above all these things, put on charity. And then notice in 1 Peter 4, we have the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now notice, there is a multitude of sins amongst God's people. Again, a lot of people today, well, I don't like going to church. Church is filled with hypocrites. Yes, it is. There's always room for one more, so come on. But the people are sinful. Yes, they are. The Bible says right here, there's a multitude of sins. But charity shall cover a multitude of sins. That is, charity has the ability to overlook these things. So considering the place that the Bible gives to love, it's obvious that we have to have a clear and correct view concerning what love is. And therein lies the problem when we talk about the subject of loving one another, because many people today, many of God's people, have a warped view, have a wrong perception of what constitutes love. Because people are selfish, many think love is you approve everything I do, you agree with everything I do, you love me. No, that has nothing to do with love. So perhaps the most important thing is we need to know what love is. When the Bible talks about love. First of all, when the Bible talks about love, it is a love patterned after Christ's love. That's first and foremost. It's Christ's love. It's Christ's love through us. Notice in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and we'll read verse 34, and then we want to go over to John 15. But John 13, verse 34, Simon Peter saith unto him, Jesus answered him, whither I go, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another, as I have loved you. Now that means that we're to have the same kind of love that Christ has toward us. Not to the same degree. We cannot love to the same degree. But we can have the same kind of love that Christ had. As I have loved you. So when the Bible talks about love, it's talking about as I have loved you. Now did Christ reprove and rebuke the apostles? Yes, he did. But he loved them. He loved them. He rebuked them sharply at times, but he loved them. Did he give them everything they wanted? No. But he loved them. So love is not the absence of rebuke. Love is not giving somebody everything they want. Love is loving as Christ loved, which means you love in spite of. And perhaps that's the best way to describe Christ's love. He loves us in spite of ourselves. He does not love us because of what we bring to the table. He does not love us because of what we do to him or how we make him feel. And that's the warped view that many have of love. Well, I love them because they make me feel so good. So if they don't make you feel good, then you don't love them. You see, that's self-centered, that's self-love. That's not loving another person. That is appreciating another person because they make you feel good. Love is in spite of. I love them because they've done such and such for me. They've always been there for me. That's self-love. That's self-love. So as Christ loved is in spite of. Then notice in John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So again, when we're talking about biblical love, we're talking about as Christ loved us. Now this goes beyond natural affection. The love for the brethren here, we're not talking about natural affection. Natural affection is a love that a parent has for a child. That's natural affection. Every lost person ought to have natural affection. The Bible tells us when a nation is or a society is under the wrath of God, that's one of the results of the wrath of God is that there's natural affection begins to disappear. And we're seeing that today before our very eyes. But love for the brethren is something that goes beyond natural affection. This is something that is beyond natural. It goes beyond that which is carnal, that which is fleshly. You see, to love somebody because they're related to you, that's natural affection, that's carnal love. To love somebody because of what they do, because of how they make you feel, that's fleshly, that's carnal. Has its basis, again, in self. But the love of the brethren is the love as Christ's love. There's nothing natural about it, and it is in spite of. So the love of the Bible does not just consist of giving to the poor. Well, if we love somebody, then we give to the poor. That shows our love. Not necessarily. Because Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 13 that if he gave all that he possessed to the poor and have not charity. So it is possible to give everything you own to someone else and still not have love. So you cannot say, well, look at what I give you. That proves my love. No, it doesn't. Because you can give everything and still not have love. In fact, Paul said, I can lay down my life and still not have love for someone. I would hope that most of us would, if we saw somebody being killed or whatever, that we would intervene. We would be willing to give our life. Do we love that person? No, we don't even know them. You can give your life without loving an individual. And Paul mentioned that again in 1 Corinthians. So these things do not constitute love. Again, if we love somebody, we will give. If we love somebody, we will lay down our lives. 1 John makes that clear. But those things by themselves does not mean that we possess love. So we need to understand what love is. And again, love is not never disapproving of anyone's conduct. Today, if you don't put your stamp of approval upon everything that goes on, then you're an unloving people. Well, that, again, that's a warped view of love. It has nothing to do with love. Many think to, again, manifest disapproval, to point out someone's fault, is to show a lack of love. But you know, Matthew 18, verse 15, Jesus said, go to him and tell him his fault. Well, you do that because you love him. You reveal a thought. Leviticus 19, verse 17 tells us that we're to rebuke those whom we love so that we do not permit sin to be upon them. And Jesus said in Revelation 3 and verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So we must understand what love is. And we must understand, again, the best way to view this is it is as Christ loved us, which, again, is simply in spite of. It's in spite of what we are. Now, if we turn to 1 Corinthians, we're running out of time. We'll just read it now and go back to it next week. But in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, Paul gives a description of love. And this is the best measuring stick of whether or not we love. Because what you can do, if you want to know, do I have Christian love? Put your name in the place of charity in every one of these descriptions. And just ask yourself, does it fit? And that will tell us just how loving we are. Because really, it doesn't matter what the world's definition of love is. That really doesn't concern us. What concerns us is the Lord's definition of love. And we have it here. Verse 4, charity suffereth long, is kind, it envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Perhaps the best definition of love right there, seeketh not her own. That is, it's not based on self. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and it never fails. That's the definition of biblical love. Again, 1 John 2, verses 7 through 11 also makes it clear that love is the opposite of hate. And people have a wrong view of hate also. They seem to think they don't hate unless they're about to murder someone, and then, of course, that's hatred. But hatred is just ill will toward another. That's all it is. It's malice in your heart. That's hatred. And the Bible, 1 John makes it clear that if you have malice in your heart, you're walking not in light, but you walk in darkness. So we need to get these things straight. What is love? What is hate? And then we can better understand our responsibility toward one another. Let's look to the Lord.